KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with producer extraordinaire Kevin Kirsten, our main man, our co-host, and the real star of the show, Jim Bartko. Fresno State's Athletics Director will be joining us in studio in just a few moments. But first, we've got another very special guest straight out of the swimming pool, Kaylee Conlin. You all might know Kaylee as a senior standout on the Fresno State swimming and diving team. But what you might not know yet is that she's also a standout behind the scenes on this very radio show, an assistant producer for the Fresno State Sports Report. Kaylee, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So since the fall, you've been interning here at KFSR, helping out with the Fresno State Sports Report. And, you know, we're glad to finally have you on the air on the show with us.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, producing here. But tell the listeners a little bit about what you hope to do with your career in media. I know you have a lot of different interests. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, I really love sports journalism, kind of mixed with photography as well. As my time here at Fresno State, I've gotten into different things so I could get skill sets in different things. So either like highlight filming or helping out with the sports report, interviewing. So like actual journalism, kind of a little bit in graphics too. So there isn't a specific like job that I have to have, but I'm kind of keeping the options open so I can open myself up to different career paths.
What was it that really drew you to media or communications type field?
Telling stories. I find it really interesting to be able to go out and kind of like investigate different things. But since I'm an athlete, sports has always been something that I love sharing with people. That's kind of why I've stuck more on a sports side of things, like in my free time.
That's a big part of the reason we're having you on air today is, you know, you're kind of filling both roles with the show. But the Fresno Bee this week wrote a big column from Mark Warzowski about the swimming and diving team. 8 students on the team had a 4.0 GPA, including yourself.
Yep.
The team overall, I think, was over a 3.533 cumulative GPA. So pretty impressive. 29 women on the team had a 3.5 or higher. What does it take? How do you keep your grades up while also practicing and training and competing so much during the week?
Well, it's not easy. That's for sure. But I've been swimming a long time, and even in high school, like, school was really important to me. I've always kind of been that person that I get upset if I get B's. It's not something, if I know that I've tried like my best in a class and I get a B, like I'm not mad about it. But just like as a general standard, I always try to get A's because I feel like if I don't, then I'm not getting my full potential out of my education. So, I mean, unless a class is like super hard, then I know I tried. It's just something I've always strived for ever since I was young.
Being at Fresno State, we've heard President Joseph Castro talk tirelessly about wanting academics and athletics to rise together. And I think your team is a perfect example of that. You know, the student and the athlete are equally important in the student athlete equation.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, you know, student comes first and student athlete for a reason. And do you think kind of throughout your team, is that the way you all are structured, or is it a competitive thing where you see one person excelling in the classroom and the others on the team try to keep up or try to do just as well? What drives the team to be so good academically?
I wouldn't say that like we look at somebody else and say, oh, they're doing so well in the classroom, like I have to be just like them. But it's more of we see other people on our team doing well. So we know that if we do well, our team's going to do well. And having a team goal also helps us individually, but it kind of distracts us too. We're doing it for a different purpose aside from just ourselves. It supports a greater cause, I guess you could say.
Do you think that it's all by design by your coaching staff that they go out and recruit and they look for student athletes who have that student mindset first? Is that part of the recruiting process for your team, or do you think it just so happens that you all are good in the classroom?
I would say that we definitely, our coaching staff, of course, looks for good grades. It's not necessarily they have to be a 4.0 student, but school has to be like important to them because we don't want to bring somebody on that's not going to care about what we believe in with our team standards that we have now. And that's another thing, too, finding somebody who fits the culture of our team and will help support that. And so education just, of course, plays like a huge role in that. So it's a factor for sure.
As for the competition in the pool, your Bulldogs host San Jose State today at noon at the Fresno State Aquatic Center. Fans who arrive early out there will have a chance to get a free Bulldog swim cap. You also have your senior day, right, on Sunday against
yes.
UC Davis at noon. So talk about what it's been like to be at Fresno State, and maybe you go all the way back to high school and what brought you to Fresno State, what attracted you to the program, and
yeah.
then what emotions you'll be feeling going through those senior moments.
Well, it's been a crazy ride, I can tell you that, but I wouldn't change any of it though. in high school, it was funny when I was looking at all these different schools. This was like the one that just felt kind of like home to me. I mean, I'm like 2.5 hours from here, which isn't like super far, but when I came here, it just seemed like I fit. And our facilities are so nice. So it was just like, wow, this is such a cool place to be able to represent. And it's a valley also, which I've had meets here growing up too. So like I always saw like Bulldogs and everything. And my dad's always really loved the Bulldogs. So it was just like a cool feeling in high school to be like, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, I'm going to be a Bulldog.
What was their reaction when they found that out?
Oh, they were so excited. It was really cool. Well, especially my dad, because he was working the day that I signed to come here. And so I was like, hey, Dad, guess what? I'm going to be a Bulldog. He was like, no way. So it was super cool. But just going through this whole ride, like every year has been different with the ups and downs and stuff. It's really cool to kind of like lately I've been looking back to see how I've changed and how I've grown through athletics and school and things I've learned. And it's going to be a really cool feeling on Sunday seeing my whole family just kind of walking across the pool and them representing me. It's just going to be really cool.
Talk about that when you said you reflected back on the lessons you learned from athletics. What are some of the things that the sport has really done for you and in your life?
It's made me be a very, very strong person mentally. I mean, obviously I'm physically too, but there's some things that normal students I'll see on campus, like they'll go through or they don't want to get up till like noon. And I'm just like, I get up at 5 o'clock almost every day. But I mean, once you get out into the work field, it's going to be like that. I mean, in most cases. And so it adapts you to more like real life situations and gets you comfortable with it before you actually, you know, graduate. And it's more like a standard set in yourself versus just graduating, be like, oh my gosh, life is happening now. And so it just teaches you a bunch of like little lessons about being an adult, but just kind of being tough through things that you need to get through.
Now, were you here for the opening of the Aquatic Center as well? Was that pretty cool to kind of be one of the first to compete there?
Yeah, I wasn't the first year that it opened, but I think I was either the second or third year. So it was still super new. And so when I was coming here, like for recruiting and stuff, they're like, yeah, our pool is basically brand new. And like a new facility and all these people want to come and see it and stuff. And I was just like, this is so awesome to be able to come and be a part of something that big.
What events do you specialize in the pool?
I'm a sprinter, so I do freestyle and backstroke, but mostly 50 free, 100 free, 100 back.
And then did you have a personal best this year in the 100? Is that?
Yes, I did. That was super cool, actually, because honestly, like the morning of it, I did not think that I was like, I feel so tired right now, like, I think I'll swim good, but I was not expecting to go a lifetime best. And it's so funny because all the times that you try to go a lifetime best, and it's like sometimes the days you do are the days that you don't even feel that great. And it's, how did I do that? But that's good for me, though, because our conference meet in a few weeks, it sets me up really nice, like because I've already gone a best time this season. So
perfect timing.
Now that I'll actually be rested a little bit, makes me excited.
Your team's coming off 3 straight meet wins against Cal State Bakersfield, San Diego, and Cal State East Bay. For anyone who's never been out to a Fresno State swimming and diving meet, what can fans expect if they come out to the pool today?
Well, if they've ever been to a track meet, it's kind of like that. We have like a lineup of certain events and we just kind of roll through the events. We just have like a setup of events and we go through all the different lineup of events and you score the points that way.
And today's also a special day on the Fresno State campus as we celebrate National Girls and Women in Sports Day from 10 a.m. to noon in the North Gym. Fresno State student athletes from all across the board, all the women's sports teams, will put on a kids clinic with about 100 kindergarten through eighth graders. All the kids were invited to watch your swimming and diving meet after the clinic. But what does it mean to you as a women's student athlete to see, you know, this celebration of that on your campus?
I think that's a great thing. It's super cool. And being a woman like, in sports, and especially like the last, like even within like the last like 10 years, women's sports has progressed a lot. Women's sports used to be very small and people kind of overlooked it a lot. And I think people don't really realize what women's teams can accomplish. They do some great things and a lot of people don't realize that sometimes. And lately, I think it's great because it's becoming more and more aware, like throughout just like society in general. So,
Kaylee, thanks for joining us in the studio today. We'll be cheering for you this afternoon. And best of luck.
Thanks for having me.
That was Kaylee Conlin, a senior on the Fresno State swimming and diving team and one of the many 4.0 students that program is churning out. Joining us now in studio, our co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Barco. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, co-host sounds kind of too big time for me.
So that's your title. You're the draw power for us.
Yeah.
We just wrapped up an interview with swimmer Kaylee Conlin talking about the importance of student athletes excelling in the classroom. I imagine you read the Fresno Bee story recently, the column by Mark Warzowski about all the academic achievements of that program and how they're leading the way. But classroom success seems like it's spreading throughout the athletics department, all those sports programs. Is that what's going on
now? Yeah, I'm very proud. You know, I walked into a department that really focused on the student athletes, and we're always at the top or above what the campus GPA is. Obviously, you always have some problems here and there with kids, but you know, we all have teenagers and not all of them succeed, but we have a dedicated staff that we're growing. I know we need more staff in that area, especially adding the two sports, water polo and wrestling, but very proud of not just the swim team, but you know, I think their APR is 1,000, which is phenomenal. 930, 940 is kind of the average, and I'm proud of Coach, but I'm also proud of all of our teams that are really succeeding, and there's a few here and there, but that's to be, you know, understood.
Yeah, really great news out of that program. Great news for the university to see that student success, but another piece that ran in the Fresno Bee recently, more of an emotional story that you were willing to share with the media about your personal life and some of the abuse you had endured as a child, but I think there was just an outpouring of support and admiration for the courage it took for you and your position to share those feelings. Talk about what made you decide to share that with the public.
Oh, that's a great question, Eddie. You know, you never really know what triggers you to decide. You know, I waited way too long. You know, if I had, in retrospect, I would go back and when my mom asked me when I was 7, did something happen? I would have said yes, but I didn't. And I, you know, unfortunately, I buried a lot of that feelings and emotions in my stomach. And as you get older, we're no longer 30 years old and bopping around. When you hit 50, 51, things bother you more. And, you know, just nobody ever really asked me the question as I got older. And a lady down south, I was going down for trying to help me sleep a little bit better during the holidays and do that. And she just asked me, something happened to you when you're 7. And I just, at that point, you kind of freeze going, oh God, you know, might as well say it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny. And this is what I want to get out to people in the community is, and it's not just priests or Catholic Church or whatever, but it's abuse of any kind. You can't hold it in. You hold it in, it makes it worse. And if there's nothing wrong, hopefully, with me saying something, will make other people, and I've had a lot of great emails from people saying, now that you've talked, I'm going to tell my parents, or I'm going to talk to my sons. And so hopefully that'll help. I mean, I didn't do it for that. I feel much better. I'm ready to go. I was never not ready to go, but, you know, just wearing down a little bit. And it was a tough story, and telling your family and your parents was hard, but been a great 3 weeks since then, and I'm ready to go.
I think I speak for a lot of people who, you know, were proud to see you come out and speak like that and be brave enough to do that and hopefully give other people inspiration as well. But all of us who love sports can get caught up in the wins and losses and stats at times. And sometimes when we see stories like yours, I think it's important to step back and reflect on what really matters in athletics, the life lessons, being part of a team, learning discipline and teamwork. Kaylee Conlin, the swimmer, just talked about a lot of that stuff. And it's really about the people and relationships and making memories. I think when you really boil it down in sports, it's about learning and having fun at the most fundamental level of it all. But for you, how fun is it right now with all the different things going on in Bulldog athletics to be kind of leading the charge?
I'm going to go back to your first topic. Yes, what happened to me put in perspective that, you know, we want to compete for championships in all of our sports. We have 21 sports now, and we want to have good academics. And I don't think those go separately. I don't think you have to have great teams and bad academics. I think you can do both. And we've got some work to do in some sports to get them up where we want them to be. Football, we need to get football back, and I think Coach Tedford will do a great job there. But it is fun. It's, you know, it's, you know, we've done a lot in 2 years. You know, look at the track and the North Gym renovation going on right now and the tennis courts and adding two sports and, you know, trying to rebuild our fan base and hiring Coach Tedford. And, you know, so it's not, it's fun. I thoroughly enjoy it, but there's trying times as you're growing, trying to, because it's all down to financial now. I mean, the Mountain West Conference is not like the Pac-12 or the SEC where money's flowing in. We've got to succeed in football. And I hate to put that pressure on anybody, but football really drives all the revenue for every sport. So every one of our coaches ought to hope that the Bulldog Stadium is full, because that'll help TV and that'll help everything else. So yes, it is fun. I love being in this community. We have a great president and a great cabinet that's very supportive. Fresno State should, I mentioned this in my, you know, my letter to fans last week, we should dominate this league. I'm not afraid of Boise or New Mexico or UNLV or Nevada. Let's go after them. So I'm excited to be here and honored that you do this show and happy to help out any way I can.
Yeah, we have a great time and appreciate all your access that you've given us. But also on campus today, we talked to Kaylee earlier about how special it is to celebrate National Girls and Women in Sports Day on campus. For you as the athletic director, What does it mean to you to see all those kids on campus looking up to the role models who are college student athletes and to have these student athletes really reaching out into the community?
Well, I think role models is a big word you just use. I remember growing up, you know, I had people in my community, if they knock on my door and they'd be in high school, I'm out there catching them, I'm 5 years old. You look up to them. I look up to Tommy Lasorda. And when you finally meet them in person, you kind of go, if they're jerked to you, kind of go, you wreck my. So I think our student athletes are great role models and they enjoy it. And seeing the looks on the kids, whether they're girls or boys, looking up to those athletes. And I think it's a key for those athletes to realize it's not just how many points you score. You have little kids out there that are idolizing you. So be respectful, shake their hands, give them a high five, give them a big hug. Some of those kids don't have a chance to go to games, and some of them might not have a chance to go to college. And I think this weekend is a special time for our athletes to interact with hundreds of kids. And I've been out there the last 2 years. I've been out there and watched them play, you know, whether it's with lacrosse sticks or basketball or shooting. They're great kids, and their parents are enjoying it. So it's a fun time.
Now for you today, it's a busy day. How many different events do you have to hit up?
Yeah, you know, you always try to work on our scheduling because I think sometimes it gets too many things back to back. But, you know, this week we have two swim meets. We've got the National Kids Day. We have reunion luncheon tomorrow or today at noon. Basketball game at 2. Tomorrow we have softball banquet along with the swim meet at the same time. So it's fun. I did the drive to Reno last weekend, and I think I'd stay here and rather than having that drive over the snow, much prefer to be home watching.
About a 10-hour drive, is that what I heard?
Give or take, yeah. It was brutal. So being home this weekend and watching all of our student athletes and the kids, it's great.
You mentioned earlier how important it is for all the programs, not just for the football program, to see Bulldog Stadium full, to see those season ticket numbers go up. The 2017 football season ticket drive is now underway. I know a lot of people got their renewal packets in the mail this week, and you know, I looked through my packet and saw those beautiful renderings of what Bulldog Stadium could look like in the near future. I think you had the folks from AECOM on campus this week to meet about the future of the stadium. What updates can you share with us about how that project's going?
Well, first I'm going to correct you a little bit because it's not could happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it needs to happen. I think there's a lot of needs that I think football would want to have. If you walk that stadium right now, and if you've been a fan of Bulldog football for 30-some years, you realize that it's time. And we've got the donors behind it. We have the drawings behind it. And it's not if, it's just when. And we're on track. I think the new renderings should be done. We've done some tweaks to the first drawings. You always do that to kind of look at, you know, maximize the efficiency and everything else. But hopefully the next 2 weeks we can release the next set of renderings. And hopefully by March have the full documents and ready to go to the state board for funding approval. And it'll be ready to go by the 19th season. Knock on wood, unless something happens.
Knock on wood. And as we've talked about with you on air before, it's still... It'll be after next season before we actually see the next phase.
Yeah, so that's a great question, Eddie. The architects last week, we had it in two phases, and they felt when looking at their scope that they could maximize dollars by doing it all in one season rather than, you know, setting up a staging, doing it, stopping, doing it. So the way it's looking now, I think we're going to go for approval this summer, get the contractor on board this summer, pre-order all the concrete and supports, and do it all after the 18th season on that 6 months. So
one big swoop.
One big swoop rather than doing it in two phases. They just felt, once you have people on board, you have workers on board, and we can get it done, why split it up and cost some money? Maybe we can save 10% of the overall budget, but that's kind of the, right now, that's how we're looking.
That 10% is a big number.
It's a big
when
number.
You're talking about that much
$60
money.
$60 million project, you know what, yeah, it's a big number, but I think as long as they know they can get it done, and I have full confidence they can, and they feel very strongly that they'll start work probably next summer on the, you know, probably the electrical and some of the mechanical issues that they can get done without knocking down seats, and then during the season, they'll just order everything they need to order from seating to the precast to the steel. That takes lead time. And then the minute we beat Boise or whoever it is in the championship game at home a year from December, then you got December 8th and you're knocking it down, you have it till August.
Yeah. So that'll be great. I think everyone's.
Yeah, we need to have it done. The stadium, not just for football itself, but it's for the fans and amenities. And, you know, our restrooms don't work and the concession stands are bad. And, you know, Pardini does a great job with concessions without any kitchens and the seats are falling apart. And, just an old stadium.
Yeah.
And it's a great stadium, but it's an old stadium.
And we need people in there, so take away all those excuses that they could possibly have.
And you know, those ramps are steep. Walking all the way up and down 50 rows is tight. You know, there's a lot of things fans can do nowadays for fun. We need to make sure Bulldog football is fun.
And then also coming up this week in regard to football, it's the big National Signing Day is on February 1st.
Yeah.
I know you guys are planning an event that evening to kind of show some highlights, let people meet all the new coaches. Yeah. How surprising or how telling is it of these national signing days now that they're just so hyped up by everyone across the country, really. And you see the social media, just all the reports, the insider scoops, all this stuff. Is it a lot different from when you first got into this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you have, you know, all the different web, the tweeting, you know, but it still comes down to recruiting the best athlete you can. You know, I've been around some 4 or 5 star kids, whether it's Oregon or Cal, end up being nothing. And then you have the 2 star guys like a Marcus Mariota, who nobody recruited, and becoming, you know, Heisman Trophy winner. So these signing days are a little hyped because you don't know how the kids are going to be. What I think is special for this coming week for our fans, and it's sold out, there's a few seats here and there left, but it's sold out on Wednesday night, is that not many people have met all of our assistant coaches. I've met them all because I was gone that month when the coach got hired and they've been on recruiting. So I've had a chance to meet a handful of them. You know, so our fans will have a chance next Wednesday night to meet the coaches, hear from Coach Tedford, see the list of our future Bulldogs, acknowledge our current Bulldogs and the philosophy that Jeff has. And Jeff's a winner, and he wants to get it done. He's going to demand from all of us that we give all of our athletes the opportunity academically and athletically to succeed and win. And Wednesday night will be his first class, and we'll go from there.
I think we've seen already, it's not just talk. He's really out there hitting the pavement all throughout the Valley, trying to make this the Valley's team again, or at least feel like the Valley's team again for anyone who thought it wasn't. And I know with the athletics department, your season ticket renewal really had that same theme. You open it up, you see the big green V, you see all the different towns and cities all across the Valley.
Yep.
How important is that for this department?
It's critical. And, you know, you wish you could do more right now. You know, like I've been here 2 full years now, and you have to build the fan base back up. You have to build the confidence in the donors to know that we care. Having, you know, 1-11 season didn't help the passion for our Bulldogs, but they're out there. And now it just takes us time, and I think we all need to be a little patient, coach included, that we're going to build this thing, but we can't build overnight. And we have a staff in place now. We have a great coaching staff, you know, from wrestling on down to football to soccer to tennis, and our facilities are getting up there. Our budget, we're working on our budget. We'll get there. I think now we need our fans in the stands. And I think I said in my letter and to fans, if, you know, it was pretty simple, really, because people kind of go, how are you going to fill the stadium? If everybody found one person to buy a $99 season ticket, we'd be sold out.
Yeah.
And it's not that, you think about it, it's not that, everybody in our fans know somebody that could spend $99 on a season ticket.
I love that every time I've heard you say it. It's so
simple,
true.
It's the simplest thing. And find one person.
Yeah, find one person. You can sell out that stadium for the year. So anyone out there, just go out, ask your neighbors, ask your friends,
or
family.
If you know somebody, we'll call them for you.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's not that you don't need to donate and buy red seats. You can sit in the 10-yard line for just the ticket price, and they're affordable, and we can build a fan base and get, you know, and help all of our programs build winners and fans for Fresno State.
Women's basketball, 2 o'clock today at the Save Mart Center, hosting Utah State.
Yep.
Bago Fosdávalos, how impressive is she right now? Just, again, you know, up there at the top of the nation in blocked shots. She's up there in double-doubles and rebounds. How impressive is she on the national scene?
No, she's phenomenal. We're very fortunate. I think Jamie's done a great job. And you know, we lost a lot of players last year. We were 1.9 seconds away from going to the NCAAs last year, which is a tough loss to Colorado State. But she's battled back with a whole new team for the most part and some injuries. And I think we're 4-4 and, you know, kind of right in the middle of the conference. And I think this was supposed to be, in quote-unquote, not a rebuilding year, but a year that we got to reload. And, you know, Bago's just one of the many that have stepped forward and done well. And kudos to Coach Terry for a great win in Nevada the other day. And, you know, we're 3-0 against top 2 teams in the league, Boise and Nevada. And, you know, we got a big game tonight against Utah State, and then come back next week and see how we do. But we're going to be right there if we can get in the top. Unfortunately for the Mountain West, I think it's going to be a one team in the tournament. So I think it's going to come down to Vegas to see who goes to the NCAAs. But we can get a good seed, be positioned the right way, and catch a little magic in Vegas like we did last year, we can be in the NCAAs again.
Yeah, on the men's basketball side, I think Nevada's maybe that one team that could get an at-large bid. I know when the Dogs beat them last weekend, they were number 30 in the RPI ratings. That's a good position
for them to be in. They would have to win the league.
But we want to win the league.
We want to win the league. And if we can't win the league, this being the top 4, we get a good seed for the tournament, get a bye, and if you're not 6 seed playing the 2 seed, where it might be. But Coach Terry's got it going. You got some of those young guys. Kiff from Roosevelt's doing phenomenal. He's going to be a great player. And Hopkins is coming around now for the transfer from Colorado. And, you know, Taylor. And, you know, I think we got it going. He's got a class coming in. And, you know, if we get the kid from Australia next year to come in, Coach Terry, and we got a new contract for him for another 5 years. And happy to have that done. And it always takes a little time. But we're excited about all of our programs. And wrestling water polo now will have their first class signings. And they'll be here this summer and compete next year. So a lot going on. Never a dull moment.
So wrestling and water polo start competing in 2018?
They'll start competing. The athletes will come in this summer.
Okay.
So the seasons are, I think, for water polo in the spring, wrestling's November to March.
So that 2017-18 school season. Year.
Yep. Gotcha. So you probably won't have a full list of scholarships out by that time. I don't think they're going to sign, if wrestling gets nine, I'm making these up, nine scholarships and water polo gets 11, they're probably not going to give out nine full rides to all freshmen. They're going to probably break up over a couple of years and get some walk-ons to fill in, because you don't want to have 22 freshmen. You want to break up into class fields and have some money left over for next year.
So. Yeah, so that's a process, too.
It's a process. Yeah, they got to build it.
Yeah, you got to really build that foundation so that you're strong.
And don't rush in and just sign 22 kids right away. Then in 3 years, have nothing for the really good kid from Clovis or L.A. or it might be.
It seems like, speaking about men's basketball, Coach Rodney Terry, it seems like he's really done a good job of laying that foundation those first few years in the Mountain West. And, I mean, coming into the Mountain West, I remember seeing the Bulldogs playing these ranked New Mexico and San Diego State and UNLV teams. And now you look back at it, Fresno State's won three out of the past four against San Diego State. Yeah. They won at the Pit against New Mexico. They've won three or four in a row against UNLV. How good is it to see the program at that level now in the Mountain West?
Well, I'm just proud of Coach Terry and his whole staff, players. That, you know, he's got his system in place now. When he took over, it was a tough time for men's basketball here, academically and keeping the players. And I think he's straightened out what we need to do. And our kids are, for the most part, doing good academically. There's always a couple of issues here and there with every team. But Coach has his players now. This is really his first team that he's, I think you can look at the athleticism and we're going to compete with everybody. You know, it's kind of where we beat Boise in Nevada twice, but then we lost to Air Force and they say who are at the bottom.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we got to get a win today, get Utah State and beat those teams at the bottom that are coming after us. It's no longer, we got to step up and play not to the level of our opponents, but to the level of a champion.
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers the other day. The men's basketball team is 5-1 against the top six teams in the Mountain West. But then those other two losses are against the bottom three teams.
Exactly.
And Utah State now is currently in last place, which is surprising with the talent they have, the home court advantage they typically have, that crazy student section a lot of people have experienced. But, you know, I think it's a win that the Bulldogs need to have if they're going to compete for this conference championship. Yep. You need to go into Utah State and grab a win.
We're one game out of first right now, and Boise and Nevada are good. New Mexico's good. San Diego State, obviously, with Coach Fisher's always going to be up there. UNLV is UNLV. I mean, so you got to position ourselves either to win the league or to be up there for a good seed for the tournament. And then, you know what? Lightning in the bottle. I watched the 30-30 there, and I have NC State when they, with Valvano, won it, and they barely made it. They won the tournament, barely made it in the NCAAs, and they won the whole thing. So,
won it all.
You know, it doesn't matter what you do during the season. Any team come March Madness can get into that postseason tournament and win. And we did last year.
We saw it with Fresno State baseball in 2008. I mean, everyone knew they had the talent the whole year. They just weren't quite living up to that potential. And then they end up squeaking into the NCAA tournament, winning the conference tournament. And off they go.
Yep.
Catch fire. And
then you never know. So then it comes down to, it's even. You're not playing like in the NBA, you play a 7-game series. And usually on a 7-game series, the better team's going to win 4 games. You play a 1-game series or a 2-game series, throw a good pitcher or under a softball or baseball and shut them down, get that one, you know, game lead and get in the winner's bracket, and makes it a lot easier. So
we know, switching gears a little bit to the NFL, who's your pick in the Super Bowl? Who you got?
Well,
maybe you can give Kevin a little pat on the back. His Pittsburgh Steelers, his hometown team, had a tough out.
Yeah, they got to stop that receiver from doing the videotape in the locker room.
But
people, they'll think I'm fair weather because I've been a Patriot fan since 1972 with Steve Grogan and Randy Vataha and Cunningham and all those guys. So I've been, and when they were bad, and I saw them play at Oakland Coliseum against the Raiders in 73 with my dad. And when you're 7 or 8 years old, you don't really know. But I like the colors, I like the helmets. Grogan was like one of the first mobile runner quarterbacks. So I went through 12 years of abuse because they were so bad. And then 88 when they played the Bears, I had a little redemption, but then they got killed by the Bears.
How can you not like Patriots?
Yeah, I know. It's
Patriots.
Tom Brady is a great quarterback. And I think Bill Belichick is probably the best of all time. But I think Atlanta is, Matt Ryan, has done a great job. It's going to be a good game.
You had a chance since you've been at Fresno State to meet Tom Brady's sister.
I have not.
Yeah, great softball player back in the day at Fresno State. But little known fact, Tom Brady trivia.
Maybe he can donate a scholarship to us.
Yeah, there you go.
Or maybe one of those deflate gay balls. Maybe we can have that for an auction item.
put it in that Fresno Athletic Hall of Fame and put it on display. But Jim, we appreciate your time.
Thanks for
being here with us today and joining the show. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate all you guys do for the university and happy to be here.
Thanks, Jim.
That's all the time we have for today, but don't forget, a lot of things to do this weekend. You got your options out in full force for you. Be out at the Aquatic Center at noon Saturday and Sunday. There'll be Bulldog swim cap giveaways. Cheer on the Bulldog swimming and diving team. There's also women's basketball today at 2 p.m. against Utah State at the Save Mart Center. Make sure to fill the Save Mart Center for that. And men's basketball right after 6 p.m. You can catch that on the Mountain West Network as they're on the road at Utah State. Thanks again to today's guest, swimmer Kaylee Conlin, and of course our co-host, Fresno State's Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, and Sports Report producer, Kevin Kirsten, always holding it down.
Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to have to go out to the Aquatic Center and get one of those caps because Kaylee challenged me to a little race in the pool, and we might have details on that coming up, but she wants to challenge me. I'm not scared to take her on, so I might have to get one of those caps and get ready, start training.
Yeah, although I'm not sure if you need a swim cap if you're bald. I don't know how that works, but
you know what? That's a good point.
But yeah, thank you all for joining us this morning. Please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports, where Kevin is always posting plenty of social media content and fun videos. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.